Welcome to the Solo 2.0 podcast, where two sisters, Jess and Rye, focused on health and hormone balance to help you step into that 2.0 version of you.
Growing up, we heard all about hormones.
Sometimes more than we wanted.
From our mom, who is a hormone health educator.
As we got older, we rebelled and experienced our own health struggles and ups and downs. But today we have businesses helping people get in tune with their bodies, break free from restrictive eating and lifestyle habits, and learn how to balance their hormones naturally. So what can you expect from this podcast?
Honest conversations and hot topics that should be more mainstream, like period health, cycle tracking, non-hormonal birth control, and our unique take on fad diets and trends that aren't always so supportive for women. Plus, interviews with health and wellness entrepreneurs making a big impact in the world.
Ladies, it's time we align with our powers and redefine what healthy means to us.
Let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Solo 2.0 podcast. This is Jess, holistic health coach and founder of Body Blessed by Jess. And normally I'm joined by my sister, Rye Birch, who's the co-founder of our family business, Your Hormone Balance. But I am riding solo on this one because our guest is a friend of mine. And to be honest, if all three of us were on this podcast, we all like to talk and it would probably take up 3 hours and you would X out of the conversation, which we don't want you to do because this is a really great interview. So I can't wait to introduce Autumn Wyman, who is truly one of the sweetest humans, but also one of the most resilient. If you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you probably remember at the end of last year, Ryan and I made a little switch up and introduced a few new podcast styles, including episodes with real women sharing stories of overcoming difficult life experiences that impacted their health, self-confidence, relationships, you name it. And so far, we're really enjoying these conversations. We have more of them to come, and we're excited for you to tune into this next one. So before we do, I want to tell you a little bit more about Autumn. In the dynamic realm of influencers turned advocates, she stands as a beacon of inspiration, pivoting from the glamorous world of influencing to advocate for endometriosis awareness, a cause that is really close to her heart. And as an ambassador for the Endometriosis Foundation of America, EndoFound, she is helping shed light on the challenges those battling endometriosis face. In 2023, Autumn's diagnosis became a catalyst for a new chapter in her life, one dedicated to raising awareness and supporting the well-being of others. Her commitment to personal healing and holistic well-being has taken a remarkable turn with her pursuit of naturopathic holistic healthcare education. From natural health practitioner in October of 2023 to aspiring to be a naturopathic doctor by January of 2025, she is taking control of her well-being and expanding her knowledge to support others and positively impact those affected by chronic illnesses such as endometriosis. So in this episode, Autumn and I dive into her journey from painful periods as a young teen, being put on hormonal birth control to quote unquote fix the problem, which is a story that I know many of you can relate to her deciding to come off the pill, followed by many years after that of ups and downs, her period pain becoming so debilitating that at one point she even had to call 911. She's going to get into that story and her recent endometriosis diagnosis that has truly turned her into her own health advocate with a mission to help other women put on their boxing gloves and advocate for themselves as well. She shares her not-so-secret period prep routines and rituals, why having support through any health crisis or journey is so important, as well as the power of community and mindset and true healing. Keep in mind, we are not doctors, but simply providing Autumn's real story and our own wisdom and words of support for other women going through something similar. Remember, you are not alone, and we hope this episode reassures you of that too. You can follow Autumn on her Instagram account at Girl with Bangs and also check out her clean and natural hair company, Bang and Hair, which we talk about in this episode. And all of the links, as usual, will be in the show notes. So without further ado, let's welcome Autumn to the podcast. Hey, girlfriend, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jess. I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. So literally right before we logged on, I was reflecting on our meeting and I was like, that is like when we first met. And it's so crazy because it was literally almost 2 years ago to the date. We met at our mutual friend Katie's birthday. And right. Her birthday was like, what, like a week or two after you launched Bangin' Hair?
Yep, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And so I remember like on that, because it was like a boat party. And by the way, shout out to Katie. She's been on my podcast twice now. And she owns a business called Love Sweat Fitness. And so obviously the three of us could just talk forever about health and all things wellness. But Autumn and I just like immediately connected. And I feel like I kind of forgot who all else was there because we were just sitting there like talking about hormones the whole time.
Yep. We're in our own little world, just off to the side. And just, I don't even remember being on a boat, but you and I were just so like, we were on a date on our own little date.
We totally were. And I was like, okay, this girl really like actually wants to hear about this stuff. And it was flowing back and forth. And it was so cool because you had just launched Bang & Hair, which is like this amazing non-toxic hair brand. And I mean, you'll have to describe it obviously so much better than me, but it's a hair serum, which helps your hair grow thicker and longer. And if you look at Autumn's hair, it's like, you need to look her up on Instagram. Her hair is natural, no extensions, super long, super thick, luxurious. So obviously you like walk the walk. And if anybody were to see your hair, they would want to buy your product. But then on top of it, it's got like the best ingredients, hormone supportive, no endocrine disruptive ingredients. So naturally I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing for me to be able to recommend to my clients. And so then we got into talking about how you had dealt with dysmenorrhea and really painful periods. And so it's just so crazy to think that not only are we coming up on the 2-year anniversary of our meeting, but your hair brand, like your amazing brand that you've built and grown from the ground up, but also you have gotten this endometriosis diagnosis and you're now using your platform to educate and help other women. And so I really want to kick things off by having you share, like, where were you those 2 years ago when we met? Because I'm sure in some ways feels like it went really fast, but in other ways feels like a lifetime because so much has changed. So where were you then versus like where you're at now?
So Jess, actually today as we're recording this is March 8th and it's also Endometriosis Awareness Month. How crazy is that?
What?
Yeah. Oh
my gosh, I can't believe I didn't realize that. That's incredible. So serendipitous.
Definitely. So 2 years ago, where was I? I mean, I was launching the only clean, non-toxic hair brand. And I actually also was diagnosed with dysmenorrhea. I was actually diagnosed when I was about 15, 16. So if you don't know what dysmenorrhea is, it's just abnormal contractions of the uterus. And it's kind of due to a chemical imbalance in the body that can basically affect your daily life. For me, I was told it's like labor contractions. I'm not sure. I'm not a mom. Maybe when we get there, I'll confirm that.
Yeah. But it's also really painful.
Extremely painful. And at that time, I was totally fine with my periods. Honestly, I was 29, turning 30 years old. A couple months later in November of that same year, so this is going back 2 years ago, in November, my periods actually came back worse than ever. And to the point where my husband had called 911 in the middle of the night, I felt like, it sounds very dramatic, but I felt like I was dying. My heart was palpitated. I just had cold sweats, turned pale yellow, vomiting everywhere. I was weak at the legs, at the arms. I was just on the ground. And for him being a first responder, it's really hard for him to call 911 because he thinks he can do it all himself. Yeah. And so long story short, that kind of started triggering my journey as to what the heck is happening. Why are these pains coming back? Why are they worse than ever? I'm 30 years old. This should be getting better as I get older. So that kind of started my journey into figuring out what's going on with my health and making it more of a priority more than ever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it's just really scary that, I mean, one, this isn't talked about that much, you know, and I don't think that that's a term that many people are even aware of or know that like, oh wow, that's a thing. And that that level of pain obviously is not normal. But yet you were, you know, running a full-time, like working full-time, had just launched a business and have a partnership, like you have a full life. And so Can you dive into a little bit more, like what that was like, what, how did that manifest in your life on a day-to-day basis? Like, did you live in fear of your periods? Like, you know, I know back then you didn't have as, you didn't have like a prep or like a routine that you went through to prep for your period. So what was life like then
when it came to your period? Yeah, definitely. I kind of wanted to go back to where this all started. I remember it, I was 15 or 16 years old. My mom says differently. She says I was in middle school. But my very first, what we would call them were spells or episodes, was freshman year of high school. I just, this kid was, we're in math class and he's like, "You're turning green like Shrek." Rude.
Oh my gosh.
I just was like pale and green. I just started vomiting in front of the whole class. No idea why. I played sports my whole life. I was very competitive, traveling for softball and super healthy that I thought I was. So I had to get escorted out by security that would carry me out. And then we would see every specialist as possible. Like I've been to a neurologist, a cardiologist, and a nutritionist. And no one could really figure out what was going on with me. A couple months later, the same episode happened again. This happened in the hallway of a high school when it was raining and they just found me on the ground and they had to call the ambulance. So at that time, my mom met us at the hospital and she was very confused, as to why this was happening again. And we have no answers or anything like that. So then we finally go and see an OB. And that's when I was diagnosed with dysmenorrhea. So my mom was kind of upset. She's like, "You're telling me my daughter is getting hospitalized in the ambulance from her period cramps? That doesn't make any sense." So the severity of it is not really, we say we have painful cramps, but here I am on the floor passed out and all these other symptoms are happening to me at the same time. I was diagnosed very quickly on birth control. They think that was the solution. So I took it. I took it for a year. And that year when I was on birth control, I had no period whatsoever. So I'm putting these synthetic hormones into my body that are changing my natural cycle and not even having a period whatsoever at like 15, 16 years old. I got off of it.
I want to pause there really quickly just because I feel like one thing that even I didn't know until more recently in my studies and when I was in school was that when we go, when we're prescribed the hormonal birth control pill and we go on it, we're told that we will have a period. And in your case, you didn't have a period while you're on hormonal birth control, but we're told that we will have a period. And so a lot of times I speak to clients and they're like, "Oh yeah, I have a regular period," but I'm like, "Oh, but you're on hormonal birth control, right?" And what they don't understand is that's not actually a true period. It's a withdrawal bleed because marketers back in the day, they didn't want women to be alarmed that if they went on the pill, you know, if they just stopped bleeding altogether, they might be like, "Wait, what is going on?" And so they added the sugar pill. So then you have this withdrawal bleed from removing the hormones, but it's not a natural period. And so I think that that's like a huge misconception that people have. But then there's some women like you that just won't have a period at all. And that's something that, you know, no bleeding whatsoever. And that's also something that I experienced too. So I just wanted to put that out there because I feel like that is one thing that a lot of people don't realize.
It's extremely important. I'm so glad you dove deep into that right now.
But continue. Sorry to interrupt.
No, no worries. It's a long story. There's so much detail and just...
No, I love it. Yeah. The detail is, I think it really helps paint a clear picture for people. And I think it's really helpful.
So where are we at? We're still in high school, got diagnosed with dysmenorrhea, was on birth control, stopped taking it after a year due to not having periods whatsoever. So now, like I said, I played sports my whole life. So when I was on my periods and I didn't know still at this point that the pain was coming from my periods. I knew I had bad cramps, but it didn't make sense why I was still fainting and vomiting when dysmenorrhea doesn't really have that as a symptom in a way. So I knew there was other things wrong with me, but basically I was handed birth control and saying, "Oh, it's, you can't really fix dysmenorrhea or get over it. Like there's no, just do yoga and meditate and just try to do breath work." So that's what I did for the last 15 years. So at that point, as I got older, that was the last time I was on birth control. wasn't on it for those next 15 years. And I was still.
Well, what prompted you to come off of hormonal birth control? Because I feel like so many women are put on it and then they're afraid mm-hmm. to come off, and, you know, they'll be on it for a decade or more. Like, we've spoken to people that have been on hormonal birth control for 2 decades that are approaching menopause, like in their early 50s, like basically almost in menopause and still on hormonal birth control. And so to come off of it after a year is actually pretty rare. So I'm curious, like, what was it? Was it like an intuitive hit where you were like, I just don't want this in my body anymore?
I was so young, and obviously I didn't know everything that I know now about the medical industry. And so I think it was just the fact that I wasn't having a period whatsoever. I just knew that wasn't normal. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to put me on more estrogen pills, and I just didn't want to take all that stuff. Yeah. So I honestly don't remember such a long time ago, but I'm glad it happened. Mm-hmm. So I fast forward to 7 years later, this is after high school. I now reconnect with my husband now, who is amazing. And he is very into fitness and making sure I'm eating the right amount of protein. So he really changed my workout routine and my diet. I've been vegetarian since I was 7 years old. So a big part of my journey, looking back at it, I was never getting the proper protein or nutrition. I was getting fake protein, synthetic protein, and all that great stuff that's out there these days. So within those years, when we started dating again, I did not have any painful periods. I had what I like to call normal periods, and that was amazing. So I totally forgot about dysmenorrhea, honestly. Come back now, fast forward, we're in November, I believe we're 2021. And that's when I turned 30. And like I said, my painful periods came back worse than ever, to the point where we had to call 911. Weirdly, that year and into 2022, I hit a weird depression time, which I never believed in depression. I thought it was really weird that people got it. It didn't make sense to me. I have a lot of great things in my life happening. I was launching a company. There was no craziness happening with my family. Like, everything was great. So I didn't understand it and never voiced it to anybody because I didn't want to believe it. Come to fact that when I was diagnosed with endometriosis, which I'll get there, that was like one of the biggest symptoms because our hormones are so unbalanced. So that November, when he called 911, went to the hospital, all they gave me was an IV bag. Then they wanted to do an ultrasound in my uterus. And I said no, because I said there's something else wrong with me. I know there is. So they didn't do one. And with endo, you can't really see it through vaginal ultrasound. So we went home. I was frustrated. Still no diagnosis. I was like, this is not just dysmenorrhea. I shouldn't feel this way. That December, the same thing happened again, worse than ever. So this really affected my life because, like you said, I have a full-time job. I drive to LA every day, which is a 3-hour commute round trip. I wake up at 5 a.m. I come back home. I'm working on my hair company. And I also am enrolled in school at a natural health school. So I do that as well. And then also try and make time to work out, be with my husband, cook dinner and whatnot. So to have a whole day of painful periods where I'm vomiting, throwing up, need to lay in a hot, warm bath, was taking so much time out of my daily life, to the point where I had to have a calendar of like, okay, my period's going to be on Saturday or my period's going to be on Friday. I have to take work off. Cause if I drive all the way to LA and I'm going to faint at work, there's no way I'm getting back home to Orange County from LA, like, which has happened before, to the point where I had to throw up in my car on my way home driving. So it's really affected my day-to-day life. So I rolled in school because my primary doctor, my OB, basically just said the same thing. Oh, you have dysmenorrhea. Let's just give you some more blood work and see where your hormones are at. Blood work comes back. oh, your hormones are like, okay, a little bit out of balance. Just make sure you're eating this, you're meditating and whatnot. And like, there's something else wrong with me. So I kind of took matters into my own hands. I'm so glad I met you because we tested my hormones by saliva with your hormone testing kit, which was amazing. It gave me a more in-depth of what exactly is going on with my hormones. You and I broke down the day-to-day of my life, how to take stressors out of my life, like the commuting, maybe like how can I make that not something that I don't do every day, like make sure I'm eating a certain amount of protein every meal. So that helped a lot. And ever since I've done your hormone testing kit, I enrolled into a natural health school to become a naturopathic doctor myself because I was so frustrated at every single doctor I've seen. I just said, you know what? I'm going to read every book. I'm going to educate myself like crazy. I'm going to just, like I said, take matters into my own hands and figure this out myself. So that's what I've been doing the last year and a half. And with things that I changed with my lifestyle and my diet, just products at home that were around, my daily routine, how I eat, syncing my cycles to my workouts. It sounds exhausting, but it's so worth it in the outcome that I don't feel these pains whatsoever.
Yeah. Wait, so I want to pause there too, because it is just so incredible to hear how much you've become this advocate for yourself and your own body. And you've had to do that because unfortunately you weren't getting the support that you needed from Western doctors. You weren't getting the support that you needed from really anywhere that you went, especially when it came to like the Western model of care. And I think that, you know, unfortunately too, as women, we can bond over painful periods. And there's a lot of normalizing of it in our society too, where it's like, oh, you have painful periods, me too. Like you feel depressed and out of it and not like yourself and you're snapping at your partner. Like, yeah, that's how I am. And I think in that way too, it's even more normalized to where, you know, we think, okay, well, I guess maybe this is just how my life is going to be. And I just have to deal with it. I'm just going to have pain and I'm going to be out of work. Cause to the degree to which you are experiencing it, like fainting, having to call 911, like that is so extreme and so scary. But even for women that have to take a couple days off work or have kids that they have to take care of and they're just in excruciating pain, like doubled over. I mean, I've heard every kind of story that exists around these painful periods and still there is so much normalizing of it and going to doctors and being given this generic advice, which I was actually surprised that your Western doctor even said to meditate and do yoga, because that's not something that you're used to hearing. It's kind of like, okay, either get back on the pill to quote unquote regulate your cycle, which it does not do. Or, you know, it's basically a Band-Aid approach, or it's like, you know, take this pain medication or let's get you on depression medication or whatever. It's always pushing a pill for every ill type of situation. And so then it's even more normalized by the people that we're supposed to look up to and trust. And so to really take matters into our own hands and to say, you know what, I'm going to figure this out on my own. I'm going to do the research. I'm going to enroll in school. I'm going to get different types of testing. I'm going to seek alternative therapies while I have a full-time job, while I'm growing a brand. Like, I just have to like give you so much credit. And I mean, just, I'm so impressed by you because that's so hard to do. But when you get to that super low point where it's literally not allowing you to show up in your life the way that you want to, it's like, sometimes we have to go to these, we have to take these desperate measures, which actually end up fueling a passion and allow us to get so much more connected to our bodies. And even though I would never wish what you've been through upon anybody, especially not you, I do think that in this process, you've probably learned so much more about your body and how you treat it and being able to support other women too. So I kind of want to turn to that of like, obviously I want to go into when you got the endometriosis diagnosis, but I would also just love for you to touch on like, how has this experience connected you deeper with your body and connecting with the messages that it's been sending you?
You made my eyes water, first of all. Oh. I'm not going to cry. I'm just I've never really put my health first, to be honest. I'm such a workaholic and always been focused on my career. And like you said, I kind of like not hit rock bottom, but was at my lowest point with my health. And I was really telling myself, I need to listen to my body more. So I know when my body is going to start, when I'm going to start my cycle. So I plan it out a month in advance. So what I'm going to do before my cycle starts in terms of having my mental health be okay, my physical health be okay, and just making sure I'm taking these extra steps and precautions. And if I'm tired, I'm going to take a 30-minute nap no matter what my husband says. Mm-hmm. So if I am energetic, I should go use that energy to go like walk on a treadmill or whatnot. If my lower back is in pain, I'm not going to go lift weights at the gym. So I've really changed my lifestyle, which was really hard for me to do at first. But like I said, the outcome is so rewarding because I'm not on the floor vomiting and calling 911. So I definitely have connected to my body in a deeper level and I now appreciate my body more than ever. And the things that I say out loud is a lot different than the things I've said out loud in the past about my body, because our mind is so powerful and your body listens. So I have a whole new respect and love for my body and what it does and what it's been through.
I love that. I think that deeper connection and love for the past version of yourself and recognizing the times where maybe you didn't speak so kindly to yourself and how that maybe impacted you and even maybe your pain at points, and really channeling that into having this like loving, beautiful relationship with your body. So I want to dive deeper into that because there's just so much more to go into for like how you actually have found this relief and what your period prep looks like. But before we do that, when was it that you sought out a diagnosis for endometriosis and what did that look like? Because, well, we should back up a little bit. And if you can give just like an overview of what endometriosis is, and then when was it that you kind of thought to yourself, maybe this could be going on, and started to like look into it?
Okay. So I'm going to back up a little bit and just kind of go from that November timeframe when we called 911, and then after I ended up taking matters to my own hands, did the test kit with you. So it's now a whole new year. So I started doing a lot of natural healing. I started doing acupuncture. I started doing hot yoga. I started getting monthly lymphatic drainage massages. My acupuncturist is also my herbalist. She started giving me different herbs. So I was not taking any medication over the counter. Everything was all natural. I started drinking a lot more teas. My acupuncturist, Joyce, she's amazing. She's actually the one who told me and educated me about endometriosis. I have never heard the term in 16 years that I was in pain with multiple doctors, multiple specialists. I never heard endometriosis come out of their mouth ever. My wow. acupuncturist told me just in a nonchalant way, I think you have endo, and told me, okay, it's only diagnosed through a surgery, a laparoscopy. I think you should do it. Me being paranoid of hospitals and not trusting doctors anymore, I was like, there's no way I'm going to go have surgery and be under and have them go in. Like, if they go inside me, and then what if I don't have it? Then it's like, okay, I had this whole surgery for nothing. Well, to have a clear, more mind, okay, that's not it. So,
but still, yeah, that's like a big decision to make for your body.
Exactly. And I just don't want to put that stressor on my body as well. She didn't really, I don't want to say she talked me into it. It was definitely my decision, but she helped educate me a lot more about it. And I was like, you know what? What do I have to lose at this point? What if it is? Then I actually have answers for the last 16 years of my pain, and I can figure out a way of how to naturally heal this. So that now we are in May. Thankfully, I found a new OB. I researched like crazy to see who is specializes in endometriosis. I found an amazing doctor, which is really hard to find as an OB, especially when you're asking them to do a laparoscopy the first time you meet them. Right away, after I told her my symptoms, right away, she said, let's do the surgery. And I was diagnosed May last year, 2023. And we finally got it diagnosed. And that was 16 years since all of my period pains. So endometriosis is a chronic condition in which the uterine like tissue grows outside the uterus, but also endo can be growing on any organ of the body. And men can also get endometriosis. So they did find it on my uterus. So they removed the lesions on the uterus. Sadly, a lot of women could have that on their appendix. They get their appendix removed at the same time they have the laparoscopy. Some women have to get the hysterectomy as young as 20 years old. I've heard so many stories. So that's kind of like where the diagnosis and story and the surgery part.
Yeah, it's also interesting with endometriosis too, because it can, you know, take for some women too, it's like they, for some women, they experience pain only right before their period. Like that's when it comes up, like with you. But for others, they'll have pain in some way throughout the entire month, which is crazy. Thanks. Or they'll have like really bad IBS symptoms and they're thinking like, oh, this is IBS, but it's because that some of that endometrial tissue is also surrounding their intestines. And so it's, you know, it, we think about it just being like painful periods, but it can extend far beyond that and create discomfort throughout the entire month. So it's really important that people know, like, it doesn't just look one specific way. So it's always important, you know, if you suspect that, you know, you haven't found answers anywhere else and you're dealing with pain throughout the month or before your period and, you know, everything's coming back normal, that this could be something to have looked at.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's, I think there's just not enough education around it at all. And so when you go in and you're requesting the surgery, right? Mm-hmm. What does it take for the doctor to approve the surgery? Because it sounds like you just said, like, these are my symptoms, and immediately they recommended that you get the surgery. Did you have an ultrasound? Because I also want to, you know, distinguish between, like, do you have to have an ultrasound to get the surgery? Does there have to be an ultrasound that comes up, you know, a specific way for you to get the surgery?
So no, I actually didn't have to have an ultrasound. When I met my OB, I gave her a full history of my medical last 16 years, what I've been through. I've told her what's happened in the last couple of months. I told her my acupuncturist mentioned endometriosis. And I don't want to be, I told her flat out, I don't want to be put on birth control. And also, my husband and I were kind of trying at that time as well for a couple of months, and there was nothing coming up positive there. So I mentioned that. That was a huge symptom when OBs hear that you have some kind of infertility happening. That's when she was pretty much like, we need to do the surgery. We need to roll this out. Mm-hmm. After the surgery, I asked her if I wanted to see how many eggs I have to make sure everything's okay now, because right away she mentioned that in order to conceive, let's talk about IVF. My opinion, I refuse to go through IVF because mentally and physically, I don't want to put myself through that. So, and I voiced that to her as well. So I said, okay, let's just test my eggs and see what's happening. So we did blood work there, and then everything came out great, which is awesome. And then from there, she also recommended doing ultrasound because sometimes blood tests can be a little bit off from the ultrasound. So that's kind of what happened post-op and pre-op.
Okay. Have you heard about, so if somebody has a normal ultrasound, but they're having extreme pain and they're having all of these symptoms, what would you say to that? Because I've heard that so often where it's like, yeah, but the ultrasound came back normal, so I don't have endometriosis.
From what I've learned and read and been educated, you can only test to see if you have endo through laparoscopy.
Yeah.
You don't see everything through an ultrasound. I mean, even like my husband off topic just broke his collarbone. They told him he has one fracture. Went through surgery. He has four fractures that they couldn't see through an x-ray and ultrasound. So, I mean, until you're on in the OR room on the surge on the bed, like that's where they're going to see it all at. I mean, also with labors, a lot of women are diagnosed during labor. When my friend had a C-section and they found lesions on her uterus and she had no idea. So to the women who have had ultrasounds and says it comes back normal, you don't have endometriosis, I would tell them to fight that and get a second opinion.
Yes. Okay. That was what I was hoping you would say, because totally it's just not true. Like, to your point, unfortunately, I can't believe we're in 2024 and the only way to get diagnosed with endometriosis is to have to get surgery, which, by the way, is not cheap.
Agree.
And it's, to my knowledge, not covered fully by insurance. And so not only is it an investment that you have to make. But you're also, I mean, it is laparoscopic surgery, but it's still surgery. And so that's why it can take 7 to 10 years. The average diagnosis takes 7 to 10 years, which is just crazy. And so women are dealing with this pain and in and out of different doctors and specialists and not getting answers and not wanting to undergo surgery. And so there's so many women that have endometriosis that have never officially gotten the diagnosis, and they've sort of like diagnosed themselves with it. Like, pretty sure this is what I have, but I can't afford to, or I'm not able to get the surgery. And so it is, you know, unfortunate that that is what we have to do in order to get a diagnosis. But it's, you know, if you can make it happen, it's also really important. So once you did get that surgery, what's the next step after that? So you come out and they tell you, you know, you have endometriosis. Where do you go from there?
So my next step was, okay, how am I going to conquer this and avoid this coming back with horrible pain? And so I did a full deep dive, and my husband and I literally turned the house upside down. We got rid of all plastic things. We changed our pots and pans. We got changed our whole entire water system. All of these affect our endocrine system. So I did anything and everything that I could do to not have all these endocrine disruptors in my household or around me. Even just with like cell phones or electronics, putting some like shungite rock EMF like protection radiation around me. Like, this sounds crazy, but I don't wish this pain on my worst enemy. I didn't want to go back to where I was that November on the floor with the firefighters around me. So I did everything and anything and was physically and mentally exhausted. I like canceled plans with family members and friends, and I was just in my own little bubble trying to figure this out. So once I was trying to figure out a period prep routine, which, by the way, is prepping my body for my period to come. Yeah. I do this the week before my cycle starts. Thankfully, my cycle starts on the same day every month, so I'm thankful to know that when my cycle is coming. I know a lot of women, theirs is probably still irregular. So the week before my cycle, I do a castor oil wrap one day, or every day that week. I go do my acupuncture sesh that week. I go get a lymphatic drains massage that week. I make sure I only am doing yoga and meditating that week. No heavy lifting, no crazy cardio. I'm making sure I'm eating the proper seeds. I'm taking the proper vitamins, because each cycle phase is different. And you need pumpkin seeds for one phase. You need sesame seeds for another phase. I make sure I'm not getting like my hair colored, because those toxic chemicals affect your endocrine system as well. So I'm literally being extra sensitive to what's in my environment that week and making sure that nothing is triggering or being a stressor on my body. Even like essential oils, like we got rid of all candles in the house because those have 3,000 toxic chemicals that we have no idea what they are. So now we just have essential oils. There's something called clary sage, which actually helps abdominal pain and is amazing for menstrual cramps. I put that in my lower belly. every night before I go to bed. So there's all these different things I do that week before. That's, I don't make any plans also that week. So I really just focus on my body. Mm-hmm. And the day of my cycle, I'm like, okay, it's coming. But I'm trying to also mind over matter, not stress out that my period's coming. I'm going to be in pain. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm trying just to like relax, take deep breaths. And I say out loud, today is going to be a good day. I'm going to be fine. So period prepping has saved my life the last year. And I've noticed, we're probably like 6-7 months since my surgery, that it's made a huge difference. I have not had the pain I've had since that November on the floor 911 call. I haven't had the pain that I've had when I was on the floor in the hallway in high school. And I'm only like 6 or 7, probably 8, I'm losing count now, months after my surgery. So I'm praying to the period gods up there that this period prep is my cure. I know cure is a sensitive subject for a word for endometriosis, but it's mine. And I think I'm onto something, and I'm just going to share that as much as possible and advocate it to other women, because no one should ever be in this pain.
Yeah. It's just terrible that there are so many women out there suffering and there's not a lot of support. And so how are you, because obviously you've advocated for yourself, but like, what's your vision for supporting other women that have endometriosis or painful periods to, you know, get the support that they need and to also, you know, build community around it too? Because I know that you've had an event, and so, and you know, you talk about it a lot on Instagram now. So I'd love to hear, like, what is your vision for all of that?
Sure. So when I was diagnosed with the endometriosis, I actually joined a Facebook group, and it has about 20,000 or more women who have endo or about to, or think they have endo. And that's kind of what made me feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy. Like, look at all these women who are experiencing the same exact pain as me, or worse. Some of them have to walk with canes because they have flare-ups every day. Some of them have like claim disability, or they're trying to write bills with the states to like make endometriosis a medical condition where you could be on disability. And just to see that, I didn't feel alone. And searching on Instagram, like, if there's anybody else that talks about it. And at that time, I couldn't really find someone who was very open about endometriosis or advocating against it or educating others about what it is or how to like help it. So I kind of took a step away from what my branding was on Instagram and started just focusing on the more important things in life, except instead of a bikini photo of me, and started posting. I told my husband when I was in surgery, I said, you know what, record everything, record the raw moments, record the real raw, like if I'm throwing up, record it, because I want to share the real behind the scenes of what this disease actually is, because it's so silent. You don't physically see it unless I'm having an episode, and no influencer out there has done that. And it kind of made me mad. I was like, why are we just showing, glamorizing it and showing like cute pictures of our cuts from laparoscopy? Like, I want to show the true raw moments of what this disease could do to somebody. And once I posted that, my DMs were flooded more than ever before with girls who are 14, 16, who are 40, like saying, thank you so much. And to see that there is other women suffering, but it's not talked about, and how they thanked me. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to be thanked. I just was like, you know what? This is my passion. This is my calling. Is this why? Like, I have had such a long journey, so I can force myself to take matters in my own hands and learn how to, and just educate myself as much as possible. So I truly believe this is my calling, and I'm trying to advocate as much as possible, not only on social media, but also with my hair company, Bang & Hair. We now get proceeds to the Endometriosis Foundation of America, which I'm also part of the board, which is really exciting. And we hosted an event totally out of my pocket, did not get paid for anything. This is just strictly about endometriosis, and I just wanted the word to be out there and invite like my closest friends who've always supported me or other influencers who have other medical conditions or kind of like in the same realm as me in terms of like what I believe in, and just had a real like raw like moment at this event. And we had an amazing guest speaker, Amanda Fuller, who is an actress on Orange is the New Black. And she has endo flare-ups almost every day as well. And she gave an emotional speech of she got diagnosed after she had her son. And it just has been controlling her life as well. So just to see people in tears at this like private dinner was it's still so crazy to me that I just learned this term a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And your life has changed. And I believe truly that it will be so much for the better, not just for you and your future, but so many other women who probably haven't heard the term either. And it's kind of, I was just thinking about how it's actually really cool that your Instagram, because you have a really big platform, you're changing the direction of it. But what's cool about it is like, if you had that huge platform and you were already in the wellness space, like obviously you'd still be able to help like hundreds, thousands of women. But I almost feel like because your Instagram account wasn't in the health space, mm-hmm. and it was like sexy photos of you and JB and like your relationship and super hot, super steamy, love it. But your following was a different demographic that maybe would not have learned about endometriosis because they're following you for something else. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Oh, like 1,000%. This whole different demographic that maybe would never have even found out about endometriosis, but because they followed you and enjoyed your content, they found out about it in a completely different way. And because they already liked what you were putting out there. And, you know, it's like, I'm just this real, like, human that's going through this. I'm not an educator. I'm not an expert. I'm having to educate myself as I go, but you're kind of like experiencing it with me and learning with me. I feel like that is going to have such a big impact.
I 1,000% agree with you. Now that you're saying that out loud, I never really thought about that. I was at first kind of like not worried, but posting something different than I normally post. But the feedback was so overwhelming. And I was like, I'm not going back to like what my stuff was before. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be sharing. And this is more important in life than, like I said, posting some steamy couples photos.
You got to throw some in there every once in a while, because that's still part of your life. And you guys do have just, I mean, speaking of your relationship, and what you've been through. I mean, I've met JB, I've seen you guys together. Like, you truly, it's not just like for the gram, like you truly are the best of friends and you've known each other forever. And he just is so supportive. And so, you know, I think, can you talk about like how important having support is in your life when you're going through something like this? And like, how has he shown up for you?
What? Totally. So with JB and being diagnosed with endo, so he actually never saw me have an episode until that night where he had to call 911. And I think that's when he was like, oh, excuse my language, this is real. Like, he's never really saw it. So I kind of think it also freaked him out to see it also in person. To have his support, I don't know what I would do, honestly, without his support. I am a strong woman, but with his support, I feel like we can conquer the world together. He dove deep into learning what endo is, like what foods do I need to eat? Okay, like what workouts do I need to do? He's kind of like my mentor, trainer, nutritionist, best friend. So he's so good at, if I'm buying a red light machine and I'm going to do red light every night, he's like, oh, I'm all for this. I'm doing red light with you. Or just making sure that like he has my heating pad ready. He actually has the Flow Period app on his phone as well to track my cycle, to make, he knows when it's coming, when to plan vacays. Like,
oh my gosh, I love that.
So he's awesome. I don't know what else to say. But in terms of other support with like friends and family, honestly, that was really tough, especially with the whole depression time. And I didn't know how to speak upon what I was feeling. It was unexplainable. So I couldn't explain the unexplainable, if that makes sense. So I kind of lost my best friend in that mix. And to go through surgery and not have my friends by my side or checking on me or go through an infertility moment with my husband, like, I did lose my best friend and my sisters as well. My sisters have a whole different experience with fertility. So there was a lot of weird emotions happening during that time while I was getting diagnosed and what I was mentally going through. So I'm very thankful for my husband being understanding and seeing everything and helping me through it all.
That's really interesting that you lost support during that time. And obviously I don't want to like have you open up wounds or anything or talk about, you know, get too deep on that if you don't feel comfortable, but I would love to just touch on like, do you feel like that part of that comes from you putting yourself first more or people just not connecting with what you're going through? Because it just feels like, I don't know, that surprises me, but I also have heard this before.
Definitely both. So because I was putting my health first for the first time in my life, people were not used to me canceling plans, not reaching out to them. I'm always kind of like the type A personality, the one that reaches out to friends first. My husband and I are always the ones that plan events at our house. It's never really the other way around. So kind of when we stopped that, it's kind of when we lost all the support of all of our friends. And I also think my best friend at that time, she didn't see what was really happening to me, the pain that I was in, but to my, I mean, on me for not explaining it, but I couldn't really explain the pain and what mentally I was going through because I had no idea. Like I was depressed at that time. My husband didn't even know. I kept that to myself. So when I'm pulling back, I never had friends come and pull me out of that hole or come to me or whatnot. And then after the surgery, being vocal about it on social media and posting that I had endo, there was no support again there. So I think it was definitely a little bit mix of everything.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that because it's, you know, people expect you to be some way, like you are this person, this connector that connects people and mm-hmm. you're, you know, really positive and you're really welcoming and you host and you're not a flake. Like you show up when you say you're going to show up. And so when you have to say, you know what, there's nothing more important than me right now and my health and putting myself first. And I think a lot of women struggle with boundaries. Like that is something that I work with my clients on all the time because I struggled with it myself for a long time. I've always been sort of like a people pleaser and didn't want to let people down. And if I said I was going to be somewhere, I was going to be there. And I was always putting other people's needs ahead of my own. Mm-hmm. And now I've gotten to this place in life where I think boundaries are your superpower. And I honestly feel like anybody in your life who's meant to be in your life, who's a real, true friend will understand when you shoot a text out that says, you know what, I would have loved to be there tonight, but I'm feeling even just something like, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed and I need a night to myself. Or it doesn't even have to be a reason, you know, tonight, unfortunately just doesn't work, but let's rain check, you know, or I can't wait to see photos, like send me photos of the night, like whatever you need to say to be able to do what you need to do and honor what your body needs in that moment. Like, yeah, I'm sure it sounds great when you initially make plans with a friend, like, oh, 2 Fridays from now, let's go get happy hour or let's go to this event. Like that always sounds fun in the moment. But then maybe 2 weeks from now, you're in your premenstrual week and you are somebody who's really hit with PMS symptoms and you don't mm-hmm. feel great. And you realize this isn't the best night for that. But if you get into that mindset of, well, I got to show up because I said I was going to show up and I'm going to let people down, then it's really, it may seem like you're being selfish by putting yourself first, but I think it's actually selfish not to put yourself first because you won't be able to show up in the way that you want to for those people. And so the more that you can put yourself first, the better you are able to show up for the people in your life, the way that you want to show up for them. So, you know, in a lot of ways, it's selfless. And we have to do a better job of putting ourselves higher on the priorities list and just knowing that anybody who really loves us and cares about us is going to understand.
And I definitely learned that the hard way. You said it perfectly. Boundaries is a superpower. And I thought I was being selfish. Last year was my boundary year after being diagnosed, and I lost a lot of people. Again, there was some things happening with my family members, but I had to mentally check in with myself and make sure physically and emotionally I was okay. And I felt like I was being selfish, but in the outcome, like, it was so good for me and my family and JB, and like, it's helped us just be even more successful with our health and just everything we want to do career wise too. And just our relationship together and our goals in life. So really putting yourself first. I love the way you put it. It's not selfish. And that, again, boundaries is your superpower.
Yeah. And it's true. It creates a ripple effect on your life. It's like, you're able to pour more into your business. And because you're creating a business that comes from your true story and is, you know, really authentic to you. And as your baby, it's not just some random brand. Like, this is literally you pouring your heart and soul into this business. Because of that, you're able to show up more authentically and speak to it more authentically and really put that love into all of the products instead of showing up as like the run ragged version of yourself, right? Like, you're not going to be able to put your best foot forward in business. And when your goal is to put a product out there that's ultimately helping other people advocate for their health and have beautiful hair from a natural perspective, like, that's super important.
I couldn't agree more. The energy you give is the energy you're going to receive. And I don't want to be around any negative energy, especially with all of the changes we made, because again, boundaries and keeping all that negativity away from you, it will help you out in the long run.
Mm-hmm. So for women that are listening that, you know, struggle with dysmenorrhea, painful periods, even just a really bad PMS week, mm-hmm. or have endometriosis or suspect that they have endometriosis. You talked about your period prep, and a lot of that actually seems really doable.
Yeah.
But obviously some of it is more expensive, like the acupuncture and like having a red light and things like that. And so on this podcast, we always like to break it down to the really digestible, the approachable, so that people don't feel overwhelmed or like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go out and buy all natural products overnight. I'm going to have to get a red light machine. I'm going to have to go get acupuncture. That's all amazing. But what would you say are like the low hanging fruits where it's like, just start here. Like, this is going to have a great impact, and here's somewhere that you can start. And then from there, you can sort of, you know, add on.
I would say check in with yourself mentally first and work on your breathing techniques, making sure you're getting enough sleep, reducing your phone screen time, any blue light time whatsoever. I would say try and reducing your stress or just taking deep breaths when you are feeling stress, and just take like a good 10 minutes. Go outside. The sun is free. That's amazing free vitamin D for you. That's a natural way to get vitamin D. You're out there for 10 minutes and you get the exact amount you need actually with vitamin D. So just close your eyes and just think of like an amazing scenery or like your happy place, or go on a walk, start singing your favorite songs out loud. I'm trying to think of all like these things that I have done recently, just mm-hmm. like are easy and just free to do. I will say, don't be so scared when people talk about natural products, and because right away people think, oh, organic and vegan and natural, that's so expensive. If you do the research, you will find great deals. And that's exactly what I've done as well. So in terms of like not going outside and getting sun, but actually buying some products, I even created literally everything I have bought. I just put on a wish, like on a list on Amazon, and shared it with my followers. I'm like, this is everything I bought. And this is like the best price of like the red light lamp, like under $100, castor oil, like $5. So wow. There's different ways you can research and find these natural essential oils. Like, those are $2.99 on Amazon. There's all these other products that don't be afraid when you hear organic and natural or vegan stuff, because there are ways around it.
Yeah. Do you have that link still?
I actually do. And I also always update it.
And so maybe we could put that in the show notes.
Yeah. And it's stuff that I've used before my laparoscopy. I started doing kind of just like a surgery prep mentally and physically as well. And then after my laparoscopies, like the stuff that helped with my scars to reduce my scars, my laparoscopy, I had no bruising, no bloating, no pain. And my OB was like so shocked. And I think it's because I mentally and physically prepped my body for the surgery and just the natural healing I did after the fact.
That's amazing.
I have all those goodies in that cart.
Yeah, I would love that because again, I think you're right. It's oftentimes we are kind of afraid by when we hear, I think sometimes it's the volume of things that we hear where it's like, do this, do this, do this. And it can feel like a lot all at once. But when you break it down and it's like, you're creating these rituals and like routines where you are mentally preparing, you know, okay, this is what I do in the morning. And you just kind of make this routine or these rituals that flow with how you're feeling and fit within your lifestyle and actually create a lot of joy for you. Mm-hmm. And especially having a powerful why, like knowing why you're doing it, knowing why you're choosing these products, why you're choosing this food to put into your body, having the understanding of why you're doing it, and then visualizing how you want to feel. So like putting these foods into my body, eating these nourishing foods, rubbing these essential oils into my belly, using these natural products, I am going to be pain-free. Like I am visualizing this pain-free life. I am visualizing myself going on vacation the week before my period and not having like a full-on meltdown. Like I'm visualizing myself playing with my kids and having the energy that I need and showing up for my business, showing up for my partner, going on date night, laughing, like painting this really clear picture of where you want to be and how you want to feel. And then taking steps as if you're already in that place. Like what would that version of me do right now? How would she show up for herself? How can I make that 2.0 version of me proud? And, you know, instead of maybe going out for a third time for happy hour in a week, you stay home and you reinvest some of that money into getting a red light lamp. Or, you know, I just think there's so many ways that we can reinvest our money if we're really honest with ourselves about where we spend it and reinvest into something that's going to be more serving and supportive of the way that we want to feel.
Yeah. And beneficial for just your overall health. I mean, another thing you can do, just look at what you put into your body on a day-to-day basis. Coffee was my serotonin. I would have 4 shots of espresso at 5 in the morning on an empty stomach on my hour drive to LA. Mm-hmm. So once doing the research about coffee and just alcohol too, I mean, and smoking, but I don't smoke, but if people are listening to this and do, like cutting those things out was so hard for me to do. Alcohol was not hard for me to do. I don't really drink alcohol anyway.
Yeah.
But the coffee, I would have 2 of those. So I'm technically having 8 shots of espresso a day. I never thought I was going to be able to quit coffee, and I cannot take a sip of coffee anymore without like hating it, because I now like transformed into like playing with teas, making my doing mushroom coffee, making my warm morning drinks taste like coffee, but it's not coffee. Mm-hmm. Drinking like raspberry leaf tea before bed or peppermint tea for like bloating. So I have a whole drawer of all these teas now. So I definitely played with kind of like psyching out my taste buds in a way and making my own little concoctions. And that was something too. That's what I did right away when I was diagnosed.
Yeah. That's a big one. Cause you know, I think a lot of people are super addicted to their coffee. And I think even, I mean, that's incredible that you just totally went cold turkey with it. Yeah. That must've been hard for a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is truly, that's why I always call it sexy swaps, like finding mm-hmm. swaps that you're going to enjoy just as much as the other thing. Because a lot of times, especially in like the health world or like diet culture, it's like, just trade your chips for cucumber sticks. And it's like, no, that's not going to cut it, you know? Or like, oh, just cut out coffee altogether and just drink like a black tea. And it's like, that's not going to cut it. You mm-hmm. have to have these sexy swaps, these things that you actually look forward to. And so like, I'm sure for you, you have, I mean, you've posted about it in your stories, but like your rituals where you're like making your lattes and yeah. you're really looking forward to them. And that's such a big part of it, is like creating a joyful experience around it. And knowing that it's, if you can make it non-restrictive and you can figure out a way that, you know, not only tastes delicious or feels really good on your skin or whatever it is, but actually supports the outcome that you want, your desire, which I'm pretty sure if you have terrible, painful periods, there's not much else you want. Like you, obviously you want other things in your life, but that's at the forefront because that affects so much of what you do. So it doesn't have to be these drastic changes, but it's about finding these swaps that work for you.
Exactly. Like I'm so excited I found maca root because maca can make taste like coffee and it's so good for like hormone balancing. I mean, Katie, like we mentioned before with Love Sweat Fitness, she has like a great coffee creamer that like, it's kind of like cake batter in a way. So it's like these fun, sexy swaps that I've played with where I'm not punishing my body, I'm not punishing myself. Like, oh no, I can't have coffee. Like I'm so excited to like play with my coffee and like add some vanilla bean to it to make it like a vanilla latte. So
yeah,
there's all these different alternatives that you can do. Just really, really, I encourage to research and think outside the box because there's a lot not out there online. I read like old books from the 70s, 80s and 90s about like the FDA and like just went into a deep dive of where we are so quick to just Google information. Like don't just Google stuff because Google's not going to tell you everything. And might be hiding some things too. So use DuckDuckGo. So definitely think outside the box in terms of trying to figure out like where you should start.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of your go-to resources now that we are on that front? Like if somebody is interested in learning more about endometriosis and exploring, you know, if that's something that, you know, they suspect that might be at the root, like where would you suggest that they turn to in terms of like not only educating themselves, but like the type of support that they should look for from a doctor and also like the type of community support that they should look for?
Community support. I love my Facebook groups. You learn so much through it and you connect with women all over the world. It's amazing. And they answer all questions. And I mean, they're not doctors, but at least you feel a sense of community, that you're not alone. I highly suggest reading books. And I like to educate myself on all different types of books. If I'm against birth control, I'm still going to read books that are pro birth control. So I can just educate myself both ways. There is a book by Dr. Patrick Flynn. His wife, when she was in her early 20s, had endometriosis and they were going to remove her whole entire uterus and told her that she's never going to have kids. They have three beautiful kids now. He's a doctor. He's amazing. He wrote two books and just the wealth of knowledge he has in his books as well, just about women and men's hormones is so amazing. So I highly suggest starting with books, honestly, than just Googling articles.
Maybe we can put some of your favorite books in the show notes too.
That's a good idea. I'll definitely add those. I'll send those over.
Yeah. And in terms of looking for the right treatment and support, what would you recommend?
I would definitely, if your OB says thinks that you don't have endometriosis, I would get a second, third opinion. I would put on your boxing gloves and be a fighter and research like crazy to see who's the best OB and who is actually specializes in endometriosis that you can go to and talk to. My first OB was not a specialist in endometriosis. So I think that kind of had a conflict with him just giving me birth control versus me actually doing the research and the time to find someone in my area that specializes in it. I also suggest maybe starting going to like an acupuncturist and to a naturopath doctor, like instead of just a primary, Western medical doctor, like kind of think outside the box that way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's super important if you can try to seek out a naturopathic doctor, a functional medicine doctor, because they're really trained to get to the root instead of prescribe. And so while I don't mean to like fully knock doctors, we need them. Absolutely. There's been several instances where I just like could not thank my doctors enough, like the medical team that I had and just different things that I've had family members go through. I have close friends that are nurses. Like I truly don't at all mean to sound like I'm, you know, putting down all doctors, but when it comes to something like this, mm-hmm. unfortunately, you know, Western doctors, Western primary care doctors really only have about 24 hours or less of nutritional education the entire time that they're in school. Even most OBGYNs aren't fully versed on the four phases of the menstrual cycle or know about cycle syncing or the fertility awareness method, which is a great non-hormonal option for preventing and also planning pregnancy, which doesn't involve any hormones. It literally just involves you and your body. And now there's like great technology out there that you can use to complement it, which is like a whole nother podcast episode. But it is really important that if you go and you see a doctor, a Western doctor, OBGYN, and you're dismissed or you're pushed birth control, that, you know, like you said, put your boxing gloves on and be like, this doesn't feel quite right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push back, or I'm going to go to this doctor's appointment with the right questions. And I've done that before where I have a list of questions and I just go and I'm like, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I just advocate as much as I can for myself in that short session. But if you can see a functional medicine doctor or a functional OBGYN, which exists as well, they're going to spend like an hour to an hour and a half with you. They're going to ask you so many questions about your upbringing, your health history, what your periods were like when you were younger, what they're like now. They're going to ask you questions you would never even think are related to what you're dealing with. They're going to ask you mindset questions, mental health questions. They're going to have a whole assessment of the supplements that you're taking, any medication that you're taking, who you've seen in the past. So you're getting this deep dive. And then they're also able to order more testing for you and really help you to advocate for yourself. And then we're huge, obviously, fans of testing your hormones, mm-hmm. which unfortunately, blood tests are really the only type of tests that are pushed in the Western medical setting because that's really only what is supported and, you know, what they get a kickback from. Whereas with, you know, hormone testing, saliva, urine testing, that's not offered through most Western medical practices. And if you ask for it, oftentimes there's a lot of pushback. And so we are huge fans of saliva testing because it helps you get to the root of these hidden hormonal imbalances that won't come up on a standard blood test. We have like 95% of clients, I would say, that come to us that have had their hormones tested with their doctor. Everything comes back normal and they're sent on their way. And they're like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't feel normal. This is not normal. And so they feel very dismissed, very frustrated. They don't know where to turn. And then when they find out about this saliva testing or urine testing, and they get these results where it's like, oh my gosh, you have like estrogen dominance, or you have an underactive, or you have adrenal dysfunction that directly matches up with the symptoms you're experiencing. It is incredibly validating. And from there, you can take steps to naturally rebalance a lot of the things that we're talking about through nutrition and changing out your products and becoming your own advocate and learning to cycle sync your workouts, but things that are relatively easy to do as long as you have grace with yourself and start to layer on. But we're just huge advocates of digging deeper. And if you are interested in testing, obviously that's something that we'll put in the show notes too. But I think just having more resources and having more support. And if you want to reach out to myself or you want to reach out to Autumn, like obviously we would love to connect with you and to support you even more.
Yeah, I'm just an email away. I'm a DM away. I am not like your typical influencer. I will read every DM. I will help you as much as possible. I've sent some of my followers to my OB that live in the same area, and they're so thankful for that as well. So if you guys have any questions, I don't think you mentioned it. My handle is Girl with Bangs. It's GRL with Bangs, or on the Bang and Hair website, or I'm sorry, the Instagram, bangandhair.shop. Or just email me if you feel more comfortable doing that. I am here for you. I will support you. I'll give you as much information as possible, whatever you need. And she's amazing.
I love that so much. And yes, I was going to mention your Instagram in the intro, and there'll be like a whole intro to this too. So definitely give her a follow. And Oh my gosh, what was the last thing I was going to say? Oh, I want you to share, just give like your little, I know we have to wrap things up, but give your little like quick spiel on banging hair, because I know you touched on it, but I really want people to go there because it's an amazing product, super supportive. And if you just look at her hair on Instagram, you'll want this product.
Thanks, Jess. Let's see. So when 2020 happened, of course, me deep diving in all these old FDA books and learning about like all these ingredients that we put into our body that we can't even pronounce, so like mumbo jumbo, like words. And so I just went crazy and I couldn't sleep, went down rabbit holes. And to learn what these ingredients really were that we were putting in our body was making me so furious. And I've always had a love for hair care. I wore extensions like most of my time. And in 2020, being at home, I took those suckers out and I was like, all right, I'm at home. I'm extension free. Let's start playing with some oils. And I started doing some hair masks. I started making my own supplements. And within 3 months, I'm not even kidding, my hair grew so fast, so thick. I'm like, okay, is this just me? Like, this is insane. So I had some like friends and family members kind of do like a similar concept with the ingredients I was playing with. And I was like, you know what? My background is wholesale and manufacturing. I need to make this a product that other women can have, because this is the only hair brand that does not have any endocrine disruptors in it. It has no preservatives, no synthetic stuff. I was gonna say the other word. I don't know what type of podcast this is. I've been very good with my mouth.
Yeah, you have. Let it okay. out. I'll let it all out at the end.
Obviously, you guys can tell this makes me so angry. So I was spending hours at markets at like all these beauty supply stores and just reading the back of labels of these hair products. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I'm very proud to create the only clean, real ingredient hair brand called Bangin' Hair. We have a vitamin supplement. We also have a hair serum. My husband uses it. I use it. It's safe for dogs. I've had so many dogs customers use it. It's safe for pregnant women to use the serum. It's actually really good for your skin as well, for stretch marks, for scars, for acne. Because this is all real ingredients. I've even had customers use it on their babies with rashes or on their scalp. So it's the beauty of using like real ingredients. It's safe for all. I've had alopecia customers use it, COVID hair loss, postpartum hair loss. And just the feedback has been overwhelming, amazing. And we are actually working on 2 new products this year. I'm super excited. It's going to be the only clean, real ingredient, 2 products that are out there with anybody, like nobody else has this. So I cannot wait for these to be out there, because every girl or guy, because some of our boyfriends and husbands or partners start stealing your serum. Trust me, I've had that message to me a couple of times. They're like, can you make a men's black ball over my husband?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I remember we talked about that on the boat.
Yeah. So it's something I'm very passionate about and I love it. And I just want to continue to grow. And it definitely needs to be more well known, because there's not a lot. There isn't any other company like us.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's actually reminding me, you told me that I could use it as a hair mask.
Yep.
And wear it for what, like 10 minutes and then wash it out?
It's so universal. When my customers ask questions, I personally send them voice messages. You know me and my voice messages. I'm like, girl, it's so universal. I need to give you some voice messages. So bear with me. I'm going to be on for 5 minutes. So I tell them all the different ways to use it. You can use it as a pre-wash serum for my girl on the go, my mom's on the go. They love using it as a pre-wash serum. Put it on your scalp 10 to 15 minutes before you shower. Shower as normal. You can use it as an overnight hair mask or an all-day hair mask, where you put the serum all over your scalp with damp hair after a shower. Let it sit there overnight, wrap in a microfiber towel or satin towel, whatever you like. And then in the morning, of course, it's going to be oily. So I have a lot of customers who do just like a slick bun with a hat the next day, or you can just wash it off. It's also a heat protector. So you put a teeny bit in before you style your hair. It's like I said, it's good for your skin. There's so many different ways for your skin. My husband cannot grow a mustache for the life of him. So he swears it's making his mustache grow, but ladies, do not freak out. It's not. I'm just saying, agreeing with him, like, okay, babe.
Yeah.
So,
Oh my gosh, it's so versatile. I didn't know all of those uses myself. Yeah. So I'm excited to know about more of those. And I'm just so excited to send people your way. Thank you so much for sharing, just so real and honest. And obviously, like, we just started the conversation. I feel like there's so much more to this. So be sure to connect with Autumn, and we will continue to advocate for this on our end. And hopefully we can connect in real life very soon.
Soon, Jess. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And like you said, you and I can talk about this for days. I'm not going to even say hours, for days. And, yeah. So I'm excited to see what our next podcast together is going to be like. And yeah, just reach out to me for any other questions. And thank you again, Jess, for giving me the platform to share my real and raw story.
Absolutely. Love you, girl.
Love you. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Autumn. And as we said, we'd both love to hear from you. Now, if you enjoyed the episode and you like our podcast in general and you want more, it would mean everything to us if you would follow or subscribe to the podcast and leave a lovely rating and review. As we've mentioned in the past, this helps us grow more than anything, and it allows us to bring amazing guests on and reach more beautiful humans like you who will hopefully benefit from these open and honest conversations. You can also take a screenshot of the episode and tag us on Instagram at Solo 2.0 Podcast. And if you have anybody in mind that you would like to nominate or nominate yourself for these real raw conversations with women, please do let us know. You can email us at solo2.0podcast@gmail.com or shoot us a DM on Instagram. Thank you for listening. And remember, even if nothing feels right today, you tuning into this podcast and opening your mind is enough. Change doesn't happen overnight, so be patient and kind with yourself, and good things will come. See you next time.